I wanted to just, Mother's Day, it's a good time to really give thanks for some of the important things, especially some of the things that we've been taught. I remember my mom taught me about praying. She said, son, you better pray that spot comes out of the carpet. So we learn about all the things that are about worship and prayer and all of those different things, and we are grateful. I loved the way that Bella read the scripture. I love this passage out of Revelation. Revelation is a book that's much confusing to many people, and some try and read a lot into it as if it's foretelling, but it's called in apocalyptic literature. It's just symbolic in nature, but it's just visionary, and isn't it wonderful? Listen to what John reads as what he saw, as what he encountered. I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. Can you just envision, can you just hear it, see it, and just, I just makes a little, this hair stand up on the back of my neck. It's a wonderful celebration. It is a vision of the greatness and of gathering and robed in white. I'm getting to the age now that I can put on a white something and it will stay white for a few hours anyway. That has not always been the case as a young man. My mother used to send me to school, and the last thing she would say was, stay clean, stay dry, stay out of the ditch. She knew, little boys, she knew how that worked. But this scripture, what a blessing. And scripture, you know, they didn't have a lot of paper. They didn't have, today we have gluts of paper. We have piles of paper. And too much. But in the day, it was expensive. And they didn't have a lot. So they compacted everything they did. It was succinct. And scripture was no exception. And so there might be a lot put together in one short paragraph. And the same is true of the scriptures that we had. We're reading, Bella read from the crucifixion passage. Easter. Remember, we just had Easter? Wasn't that just a few Sundays ago? Wonderful celebration. But this is the passion of Christ, the Easter moment. Jesus is on the cross. And the women are present. Have you noticed that? Be careful that you don't just gloss over that. But the women are there. The men are absent. They were in danger, and they knew that. They might be captured. They might be envisioned as colluding with and being in association with and then be found guilty. But the women were invisible. And there was a tremendous downside to that. But here was a positive side. They could be at the cross and ignored virtually. But did you hear what Bella read? Standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother Mary and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Three Marys. And I don't know, was Mary just a much more predominant name back then? I knew a Mary in my previous church. She said, I've always disliked my first name, Mary. Everybody was named Mary. She said, I wanted something a lot different than everybody else. I don't know. It's a name. It's an important name. It's a worthy name. It's a holy name, if you will. But here are these three Marys, and intriguingly, in history, the different scholars have done things. And there was a church official, bishop or cardinal or priest or something, who wrote a sermon. And in it, he said, well, it was really only one Mary. Mary was all of those different ones put together. That was his opinion, trying to tidy things up in the Bible. Things are not as tidy as people would have them be. We like it when they're tidy, when they're compacted down into smaller and smaller casts, so we don't have to keep track of who's Clopas and why and how are all these different things connected. But this non-biblical merging of the three Marys into one is not biblical, and it's not helpful. And then another piece that is intriguing about John that he tries to tidy up is this business about carrying his own cross. John makes it explicit that Jesus carried his own cross up to be crucified. Now, keep in mind, John is written much later than the other three Gospels. There are four Gospels. Three are called synoptic because they're so similar. And one, John, is the non-synoptic. And it's written much later, and it's a generation or so later in time that it's written. And in fact, we can go back to the first gospel, or what we think was the first one, Mark. And in Mark's gospel, they recount how when Jesus was getting ready to go up onto the cross, to climb the hill to Golgotha, they grabbed the hold of a passerby, Simon of Cyrene. You remember Simon, he's Alexander and Rufus's dad. In Mark's congregation, they knew. This was family. The boys were probably men gathered in the congregation, and it was their dad who was conscripted, this black man from Africa, from Cyrene, who was forced and just recruited to carry the cross. John just doesn't need that information, so he tidies things up and leaves that out, and Jesus carries his own cross. Every Hollywood director in the world is thankful for John for writing that. So much more dramatic, so much more tidy. And you don't have to understand who's Simon of Cyrene. Where is Cyrene? All of these details, you see. But life is not tidy. Jesus is on the cross, and we're so focused on that Easter moment and on those final words and on Jesus' short time there that some of the things that happened, they just kind of get skimmed over and we don't accent them very much. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." And he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Jesus officiates over an adoption. Here's the disciple whom Jesus loved, whom we had a discussion about this. It was probably John, that's not explicit. But John and Mary, they now have both been merged into a family. We know that the women who were present, as I said, they were invisible. They could be there at the cross. They could be there. They are there. Central, and we skim over them much too easily. Very formative in Christianity. Think about it a moment. It is a woman, Mary Magdalene, who anoints Jesus. Not only anoints him as king, if you will, but as for his burial, she anoints his hair. Remember the passage? They have the perfume. She buys the expensive perfume, and she wipes his feet with her hair and with the perfume. It's an anointing, and it's done by this wonderful act by this woman, Mary Magdalene. And the women are the first to witness Jesus after the resurrection. Again, the men might have been far away because it was dangerous to be there. Maybe that's why, although they rushed to the tomb, you recall, Mary goes and he tells the disciples, and the disciples rush to the tomb, and they find it empty, and they don't comprehend it. But it's Mary who's the first to encounter that, and in different Gospels, it's different ones of the women who encounter Jesus first on his risen, the Christ, the risen Christ. And it is the women who remember the words that Jesus has taught them and start reminding the disciples, but remember how he taught us. I don't know about you, but it's easy to get caught up when there's a crisis, when things go wrong and things run amok and run. There's accidents and things going on. That it's easy to just be in the moment and forget. And the women, in the midst of this crisis of losing Jesus' body on earth, they begin to remember his sayings. And they're reminding the disciples. And the disciples don't want to listen. After all, it's idle women chatting. But it's this family of gathering. And on Mother's Day, it is the women who are so very formative. But this gathering of John and the disciple whom Jesus loved with Mary, it's a making of family. We will not be left destitute. None of us will be left destitute. What an incredible message. What an incredible piece of good news. And what an important thing to hear on Mother's Day, to honor mothers and reflect on what our mothers taught us and the heritage that has been handed down to us from our mothers. Now, we thank mothers for growing families. I mean, literally, they grow families, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about motherhood and birth mothers, but I'm talking about mothers who have been formative. I had a lot of mothers raising me. Most of them were women. And I say that not in humor, but recognizing that mothering is that important part of raising and instilling integrity and morality. Now, I've been in the pastorate for a little while, a couple years now. And over the course of my career, I've done some pastoral care for people who have called and said, I need to talk to you. And unfortunately, some of those have been people who have been injured by their parents. There's a fella whose mother abused him so badly that he could not sleep at night. He had nightmares all night long. So he would sleep during the day wherever he got a chance. He would come to worship and sit in church. And as soon as church started, boy, he'd cross his arms and on his chest, and he'd go right to sleep. I thought I was I was kind of insulted, and I thought I was just, not being active enough, keeping him awake. But he was at peace and felt safe in that sanctuary. And his mother was not a mother to celebrate. So not all people celebrate Mother's Day in the same way, but hopefully we can all celebrate mothers. And it kind of made me pause and ask a question. Is it possible that we as humans who have feet of clay, is it possible that in every interaction between people, there's a potential both for grace and for injury? And the longer you're with somebody, the greater the possibilities of both of those? I mean, just think about it. The more time you spend with someone, have you ever had a good friend and you spend a lot of time with them, and then all of a sudden you kind of just get sick and tired of them? Just need some time away. Alex, is that what you were referring to with the 8 hours with the kids there and with the, love the kids, but, and we do. And yet as we get older and look back, what I would give for a day with a little baby that I had until she wakes me up in the morning, then I'm not quite as excited about it. But we have feet of clay and injuries can happen. But this love, and especially on Mother's Day, this is a time to pause and say, loving means understanding each other's humanity and their ability to make mistakes. I have made a few mistakes. You can write that down with air quotes there. And understanding that I can make those mistakes, despite being sure that I won't make any more mistakes and praying and focusing on it, and yet I still stumble. And knowing then, yes, our parents could stumble too. But love is that step that says we forgive, we move on, and we are committed to that other. Love means never saying have to say you're sorry. Was that a movie or something? I don't remember where that came out of, but saying you're sorry is always a good thing, regardless. But love means making a decision to say this person is someone I choose to love, I choose to be with, I choose to overlook their failings. I'm not going to be abused by them, but this is a person that I have decided to love. That's the love that Jesus is talking about when he says, love one another. Feed my sheep. It's not this romantic, this spasm of sexual attraction. It is a decision that we make in loving. Back to Revelation, that beautiful passage when Bella read it. The elder asks John, he says, who are these, all these people? And I love his response. Sir, you're the one who knows. Talk about a good political answer there, huh? And the elder responds, these are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Wow. That great ordeal. I am experiencing some of that. Some days it is a great ordeal. Amen? Some days it's okay and it's life's a dream and it's a birthday party. And other days, not so much. And also those days of persecution, those days of struggle. So we acknowledge those errors, those missteps, the stumbles, the sins. And out of all of those, coming to Christ in the gift of having our robes washed, return to that sparkling white cleanliness. That's good news. That is wonderful news. And we need to acknowledge that Jesus building us, building families, teaching forgiveness, but teaching the broadness of families. From every nation, from all the tribes and the peoples and languages. From our birth families, our adopted families, our world families. I live in a delightful neighborhood. I have people from nationalities I can't even imagine. There are people that walk by with, they must be from some, I'm guessing Nepal. I'm not sure. And I have gone out and been in the front yard when they walk by and said hello. And there's a lot of nodding, but there's not much other communication. And that's okay, because here's part of my family. I ought to get to know more about them, but how's that going to happen? Maybe it won't, but at least I can say, here is one of my brothers or sisters. There were four of us growing up together, three siblings, and we would fight. Any of you have siblings? Did any of you fight with your siblings? I guess I should have asked, or any of you didn't fight with your siblings, but anyway, my mother at some point in time had 60s, there was different people with different theologies and teachings, and some guru or something said, had this saying, and my mother picked it up. She says, we'd be fighting like crazy, and mother would say, that's nice, kids, don't fight. That just made me twice as mad. Didn't work for Fooey. She thought she was helping. She didn't know what else to say, what else to do, or how else to be about it. But nice kids, don't fight. I can imagine I can imagine Jesus saying that to us, but he says it a different one way. Love one another. And maybe we can pause and say on Mother's Day we can celebrate the correct good mothers and the love they offered, celebrating them and celebrating how we try and be like them in loving one another. Amen? Amen. Amen.